right there. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Does anybody remember what we have been teaching on? I started teaching on last Wednesday, the power of the blood. Hallelujah. Last Wednesday, we went over scriptures that talked about the power of the blood of Jesus and how it applies to our life. Hallelujah. We're going to get in a little bit more in depth talking about the blood covenant. Hallelujah. The covenant is good. Our Father God is good. It is some good news we're going to be going over tonight. Let's pray. Father God, thank you, Lord, for this word being sent forth tonight. Thank you, Jesus, that it is the washing of the word. Glory to God, that will go through us tonight and make a change, Lord. Get those rough edges off of us. Hallelujah. We receive your word by faith in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to turn to Hebrews 8:6. Amen. Glory to God. We're coming up on Palm Sunday and on Easter Sunday. And how many knows that we don't even call it Easter Sunday around here. We call it Resurrection Sunday. Amen. But something happened on that Friday before, and we're going to be talking about that all the way up to Palm Sunday. And we're going to be talking about the significance of Jesus dying on the cross. Sometimes we understand, okay, Jesus died on the cross. You see it. You know about it, but you don't know it. You don't know why. You don't know how that applies to you. What was the significance of a man hanging on a cross? So we are going to figure out what the blood covenant is all about. Amen. Let's go to Hebrews 8:6. Are we there? Yes. All right. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant. Can you guys say better covenant? Which was established on better promises. Can we say better promises? Better promises. So better covenant, better promises. But before we can get to the better covenant with the better promises, we have to know about the old covenant. We have to know about the covenant that was first originated. Amen. All right, so we're going to kind of go through some things here. We're going to talk about why blood, why this is kind of gruesome, kind of gross, especially now in these modern times to talk about blood. It's kind of like, why? We're going to talk about the sacredness of the blood covenant, and we're going to talk about when God cut covenant with Abraham. Glory to God. We're going to see how far we really get through here tonight. Amen. So, let's see here, the blood covenant. It's based upon the oldest known covenant in the human race. We talked about this just briefly last Wednesday. It began in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned, that God slew an animal and made clothes for them. There was blood that was shed to cover their sin. That was the first instance of blood that was shed. It is evident that God cut the covenant or entered into a covenant with Adam at the very beginning. Now, there's going to be two people I'm going to be talking about tonight that give us more of a modern look at covenant, and that is Dr. David Livingston, who knows that name, okay, and Henry Morton Stanley. And these two men, Dr. David Livingston, was a missionary down to Africa. He charted most of Africa. He really is one of the most well-known documented books and memoirs and different things on the country of Africa. And really an amazing, amazing person. And then there's Henry Morton Stanley, who when Dr. David Livingston, they thought he got lost somewhere. Stanley went to go find him. And it was really an amazing story, and we're going to go over that also. But, so, we have the whole redemptive plan rest on these two covenants. We have the old covenant and the new covenant. All right, let's see here. Why? Reason, why, what is the reason for cutting covenant? Why do we see this in the word? What is the significance? First of all, there's three reasons that we can kind of base it down to. first one. And this is covenant not only in the Word of God that we see, but around the world they still cut covenant. So if there's a strong tribe, if we think about this, there's a strong tribe, a warrior tribe, there's a weaker tribe, maybe a farming tribe. The danger is the weaker tribe will be overthrown by the stronger tribes, right? So what do? They decide to cut covenant. Hey, you protect this part of the land so we can grow our farming and do our protect our vegetables and everything else, and we'll give you some vegetables in exchange for that. There is a covenant for those things. The stronger for the weaker, and the weaker to be able to give the things that he has to the stronger. Second, businessmen for a business transaction here. So that neither one would be able to take advantage of the other. There's a covenant that is made. Third, through marriage and deep friendship. We also see this in the Bible also, but we know specifically for marriage and for love and different things, covenant is cut. The sacredness of the blood covenant. It's really interesting. Dr. Stanley said he never knew this covenant to be broken in Africa, no matter what the provocation. Dr. Livingston also bears witness saying that he never knew it to be broken. So even in modern times, they never knew it to be broken. In other parts of the world, it is claimed that they never knew blood covenant to be broken. It is one covenant that is perfectly sacred among all primitive peoples. In Africa, if one was to break the covenant, his own mother or wife or his nearest relatives would seek his death. That's pretty serious. And they still do that to this day. They would turn him over to the hands of the avenger for destruction. No man can live in Africa who breaks the covenant. He curses the very ground he walks on, it says. This is a very serious, sacred thing. And this is just, that's just worldly things of what the documents from Livingston and Stanley had said. The vilest enemies become trusted friends as soon as the covenant is cut. No man takes advantage of the covenant or breaks it. It is so sacred that the children to the third and fourth generation revere it and keep it. In other words, it is perpetual covenant, indissolvable, a covenant that cannot be annulled. In our mind, and I don't know if you're thinking this either, but us here in America, it's kind of hard for us to figure out covenant, what that really means. What does that really mean? First off, we start thinking, well, it's kind of like a contract. Okay, I get the idea of this contract. Except for there's one thing that's missing. In a contract, you have one person that says, I will do this if you do this. And they say, if you do this, then I do this. It's based on someone else's ability to go through with the contract, that what they said they would do. And it bases on your ability to fulfill your side of the contract. That's a contract. The closest way that we here in America can try to grasp the idea of covenant is the word promise. Because when you promise something, it releases that person from having all strings attached. They can't do anything to fulfill your promise. Your word, it's based on your character, and it's based on your word. That is a promise. And it's the closest thing that we have to the idea of covenant. Amen. Hallelujah. Our God is a promise keeper. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I just want to make sure I said everything that was in here. I wish the word promise gave the word covenant justice, but it doesn't quite get it there, but it gives us an inkling of what that word actually means in our modern America. But it's so much more. Okay, we're going to go over to Genesis 17:19. Amen. We're going to start reading through this a little bit. Genesis 17:19. I'm just going to kind of recap, and then we'll start to read through this. When God entered into the covenant with Abraham, there were several very striking events that took place. Among them was the changing of Abram and Sarai's name to Abraham and Sarah. Abraham meaning a prince of God, Sarah meaning princess of God. In other words, he lifted them up in the royal family before he cut covenant with them. He changed their names. Before the covenant was even cut, he changed their name. Amen. The Abrahamic covenant, which is the basis of Judaism and Christianity, is the most marvelous document in existence. What is documented here in the covenant, in the blood covenant, is marvelous. It is amazing. Once we can grasp that deep down on the inside of us, we really know what that means, and we can apply it to our life. Amen? It is sealed by circumcision. This covenant bond Abraham and his descendant. This covenant bonds Abraham and his descendants by indissoluble ties to Jehovah God. Amen. Glory to God. And it bound Jehovah to Abraham and his descendants by the same token. Glory to God. All right. So do we have Genesis 17, 19 ready? All right. Then God said, "No, Sarah, your wife, shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him." Abraham was 99 years of age, and God appeared to him. God Almighty, God El Shaddai, he said to Abraham, "Walk before me and be thou perfect, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly." We see Abraham on his face. God is talking with him. God tells him, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of a multitude of nations. Neither shall thy name be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for the father of a multitude of nations I have made thee." Let's go to Genesis 15:6. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. And he believed, the word believed there is important, and he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. He believed in the Lord. The word believe means that Abraham made an unqualified committal. Can you imagine the exchange that was between Jesus and you that happened? Us not having anything, getting in covenant with the one that has everything. Amen. It is unqualified committal. Also, the word believe here in Hebrew means not only a trust, loving trust, but also means give yourself wholly up to be a part of himself. Go right into him, and also the one unqualified committal. Abraham gave himself to God in utter abandonment or self. Amen. You give all, everything you have to God, and God gives everything he has to you. Who wants to be in that exchange? Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And this is the old covenant, guys. Our covenant's on better. It's a better covenant, better promises. It's good already. Amen. On the grounds that God said, "Take for me as it is God's substitute an animal and slay it," and Abraham did. So they took an animal and they slayed it. Then God said, "My substitute has been slain, and I want you to circumcise yourself." When that was done, God and Abraham had entered into the covenant. It means that all Abraham had or even would have was laid on the feet of the living God. Amen. Hallelujah. It means that God must sustain and protect Abraham to the very limit. When God cut covenant with Abraham, the nation came into being his covenant people. This covenant was limited to Israel, the children of Abraham, and he had behind it the promise and the oath of God. Glory to God. So the seal of the covenant was circumcision. God takes something that is very personal, very sensitive. And it's a show of even the most sensitive part is given up to God. Every male child at that day of at the eighth day of age was circumcised, and the circumcision was an entrance into the Abrahamic covenant. I know we're going through a lot of stuff here, but it's good to know some of these things that are facts, that are based, because sometimes we don't go into Genesis and Leviticus and find out some of these things, but we need to know this because this is significant to our walk, our Christian walk with Christ. Amen. When the child was circumcised, he entered into covenant, and the child became an inheritor of everything connected with the covenant. Hallelujah. We're going to see it in the new covenant too. Amen. If keeping the covenant with a blood brother meant the death or loss of his wife, or the firstborn, or the destruction of his property, or his own life, all and everything was laid upon that covenant. And the other person had to fulfill that to redeem that back. Covenant obligations. Here's some obligations that the covenant goes through. Let's go to Genesis 17:13. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. Everlasting. Everlasting. When God led Israel out of Egypt by Moses, they had no law, they had no priesthood. Then God gave them the Ten Commandments, the priesthood, the atonement, the sacrifices, the offering, and the law that was governed. The sacrifices and the offerings, the scapegoat, we're going to go over that in a little bit also, and the worship. All these belong to the covenant. The covenant did not belong to the Ten Commandments as we might think it might be part of the covenant, but the covenant was the reason for the law. It was called the law of the covenant. Israel were the people of the covenant. There's also, we can read in Exodus and Leviticus carefully, noting that the word atonement occurs first over there. And then if we study Leviticus carefully, we note that the blood meant what the blood means and the significance of atonement. And we're going to get into more of that a little more in depth. There's a lot of stuff to go through. Also, I'm going to take you back to Stanley and Dr. Livingston. Because sometimes these things go a little bit over our head, but when we see them maybe in a little bit more modern time, it will help us grasp some different things. So, we have Dr. Livingston that somehow, he was sent out by Queen Victoria to go chart Africa. And during years and years of writing back and forth different things, all of a sudden they stopped hearing from Dr. Livingston. And they tried to find somebody that would be up to it, that would be man enough, that would be willing enough to go into Africa and find Dr. Livingston. They found Morton Stanley. What's his first name? Let's see. Henry Morton Stanley. This man, he fought in the American War, by the way. So he was hired out and he fought in the American Revolution, I believe it was. He was a warrior. He was a strong man. He loved the Lord. And they found him fit to go find Dr. Livingston. When Stanley was seeking Livingston, he came into contact with a powerful tribe. They were very warlike. They were very scary. If we can only think of what a scary, warlike African tribe would look like, that was probably them. Okay? So just kind of think of that in your head. Stanley was not in the condition to fight. He had barely any food. They'd been on a very, very long trip, traveling the deserts of Africa. And now he comes against this tribe that wants to kill him. And he's not, and his team is not able to fight this tribe. He had an interpreter, and the interpreter asked him why he would not make a covenant with him. Well, Stanley knew what that meant, making a covenant. First of all, he knew that was something to do with blood and even drinking blood and weird stuff, and he was not into that whatsoever and did not want to do that. So Stanley revolted from such a right by conditions that kept him in a worse and worse situation. until finally this young man interpreter asked him again why he would not cut covenant with this chieftain in this tribe. Stanley asked what the results of the covenant would be. And the interpreter answered, "Everything the chieftain has will be yours if you need it." This appealed to Stanley at that point, and he investigated. After several days of negotiation, they arrived at the covenant. First, and it's going to walk you through kind of what happens here, and we're going to take another look at the Word of God. It's a little bit different, but this is in Africa and different things that they were doing. First, there was in which the chieftain questioned Stanley of his motives and standing. He wanted to know if his character was strong enough to not break that covenant. The next step was an exchange of gifts. Now Stanley, he had a white goat that he would have with him because he used it for goat milk and different things, and he loved this goat. He was not getting rid of that goat. It's probably the healthiest thing that was inside there as they were traveling through, okay? He did not want to give up that white goat. So, the chieftain didn't want anything else except that white goat, all right? So he finally gave up the white goat, and the old chieftain handed him a 7-foot old wound copper spear or staff type of looking thing, all right? He didn't think too much of it. He thought, oh, I just gave up my white goat for this weird looking staff. But we're going to save this till a little bit later on. All right, the old chieftain then brought in one of his princes. Stanley led forth one of his men from England. Then the priest came forth with a cup of wine, made an incision on the young man's wrist, and let the blood drip into the cup of wine. He cut an incision on the wrist of a young Englishman and let the blood drip into the cup of wine. Then the wine was stirred and the bloods mixed. The chief handed the cup to the Englishman and he drank, and then he handed it back and they drank. Next, they rubbed wrists together so their bloods would mingle. Now they became blood brothers and in covenant. These two were only substituted but they had bound Stanley and the chieftain together. The blood brotherhood they had made was indissolvable. Then, this is interesting, the gunpowder was rubbed into the wounds so it made and healed with a black scar. The next step in the ceremony was the planting of a tree. Trees were known for long life. After the planting of a tree, the chieftain stepped forward and shouted, "Come, buy and sell with Stanley, for he is our blood brother." There was an announcement, there was a proclamation that was made. A few hours before, Stanley's men had to stand on guard about their bales of cotton and all their trinkets and all their stuff. They had to stand guard. But after this covenant was made, no one could disturb any of their things. For anyone to steal from Stanley, it was the death penalty. That's not taken lightly. The old chieftain couldn't do enough for his new found blood brother. It's very interesting. Later on, Stanley still had that old wound copper staff. He soon found out later that anywhere he went, he would hold up the staff and people would literally bow as he walked by because of the power that he had made with that strong warlike tribe. So that was very interesting. Now this was the next step in this ceremony was interesting, and we do see this in the Word of God. But as soon as the two young men had drank each other's blood, a priest stepped out and pronounced the most awful curses that Stanley had ever heard. Curses that were to come upon him if he broke the covenant. Then Stanley's interpreter took his part and pronounced curses upon the old king, his wife, his children, his tribe, if they broke the covenant with Stanley. All right, so we see that, what our covenant looks like, and we're going to read that in a second in Deuteronomy 28. Also, we do see other things in here with Abraham and Amalek. They shared, am I saying it wrong? I think I am. Yes. Abimelech, I believe. So they switched they switched lambs, and it was a memorial unto them, because as the herds grew, they remembered that covenant that they had done. So, all right, let's go over to Deuteronomy 28. Let's see what the old covenant has with the blessings and the cursings. This is actually one of my favorite chapters, and this is God speaking to us. Amen. And I'm just going to do Deuteronomy 28:1. We're going to start right there, and I'm just going to read right through. 28, please. Yep, 28. 28:1. You got it. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord, glory to God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. Kind of like what we saw here when he had that staff, he had that proof of that covenant. Hallelujah. Amen. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Glory to God. Who's being overtaken by the blessings? Amen. Because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. All right, let's go to the next one here. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds. We can put that in nowadays. Sometimes we don't have herds, okay? We can do things of at our job, at if we have a business, different things that we set our hands to do. So, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flock. Let's go to the next one here. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Hallelujah. Everything in my pantry. Amen. Glory to God. We get the best deals when we go to the store. God, a blessing everywhere we go. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. I don't know if you guys noticed the rug that we got probably about a year ago or so, but I loved how it says blessed coming in and then blessed going out. So you'll have to notice that again because it's so good. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before your face. Hallelujah. That you'll see it. That means you'll see it. It's going to be evident. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hands. That means we do need to be setting our hands to do something, right? We have to be doing something. We have to be producing something with our hands, doing something so God can bless it. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Let's keep on going here. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he swore to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Let's see where I am over here. And I just want to see, that is 10. All right, let's keep on going down. Let's read all through this because it's good. Amen. It's good to refresh our memory. And all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, in the produce of the ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. And the Lord will open to you his good treasure. Amen. Glory to God. The heavens to give rain to your land in its season, to bless all the work of your hands. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. Glory to God. So you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods, to serve them. All right, so it talked about the blessing. Now it's going to start going into the curses. Now, hallelujah, glory to God, we have a better covenant. Amen. We are in a time of the blood of Jesus that not only covered our sin, but it took our sin. Amen. These are things, though, that in the old covenant, if they did not obey the Lord, and you can see when Israel was walking with the Lord, all these blessings that would come upon them, and then somehow there would be an evil leader, evil king, they complained, or they would just go out of the will of God, and you would see these cursings starting to come upon them, because it is a covenant. It is in the Word of God, and it is real, and it is true, and this is what the Bible says about this. So let's read it. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and to his statutes which I command you today, and all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. We don't like this part. This part's uncomfortable. We don't want to hear this part. We love the blessing part. That was great. Got to shouting and everything. Hallelujah. But now it's the cursing, and we do have to know this side of the covenant, because we need to know what we got redeemed from. We need to know what God pulled us out from. Amen. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. That doesn't sound good. I don't want that. Cursed shall your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will send on you cursing, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hands to do, until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me. And your heavens which are over your head shall be bronze, and the earth which is under you shall be iron. We don't like that. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and you shall become troublesome in all the kingdoms of the earth. Your carcass shall be food for the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and no one shall frighten them away. And I want to go down here. There's a part over here that it starts talking about the sicknesses that were on Egypt. And it's very interesting. And then it goes back into the covenant again, that those won't be on you. And then it goes into the part where it says, not only these, but if anything, there's an actual word. Do you know, have that? Yeah. 61. So is it 2861? Okay, so 2861, let's look at that. So 61. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in this book of the law, the Lord will bring upon you until you are destroyed. Okay, we don't want that. We don't want that. No, it's the disobedience that you stepped out of the covering of the will of God. And I don't like the idea that we know God is good. Amen. And sometimes when we hear these things that the Lord will bring, that's not actually what's happening. That means the Lord is trying to protect you. Think about an umbrella, and it's raining outside, and you, Lord's like, if you step outside of that umbrella, it's going to be rain and hail and everything else. You're going to get beaten down and all wet, and it's going to be a mess. Do not step outside that umbrella. If you obey my words, then you won't get wet. You won't get destroyed. Okay, God. Why does that surprise us? Why does that surprise us, though? And the Word of God says, if you don't obey these words, this is going to happen. Just like a good parent that says, don't go running out in the street. There are cars out there. There are things out there that can hurt you. Don't go out in the street. And it's up to us to obey. Amen? Hallelujah. And I thank God that we are in a time that we can go boldly to the throne room of God. Amen? And say, God, forgive me. I was out of line. I did not obey. Please forgive me. Lord, I accept you in my life. I want your covenant. I want to be in covenant with you, Lord, and take him as Lord of your life. That's what we can do. Hallelujah. And he forgives us. Amen. Glory to God. From all unrighteousness, from everything that we have ever done, he forgives us. He washes it away. He forgets. And we get right back in line with God, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. But it is good to know that without Jesus, there was the old covenant. There was these blessings and these cursings. Thank God Jesus did away with that. He was the last sacrifice, the final sacrifice, the final blood that had to be poured for us. And we're going to get more and more into this, but tonight that's what we have time to go over. And it's good to know what it looked like in the old covenant. And thank you, Jesus, for coming and taking our place. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to take our place, that you shed your blood for us. To be the final sacrifice, that your blood didn't just cover our sin like the blood of bulls and goats, but Lord, your blood removed our sin. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. As every head is bowed, I need to ask, if you do not know Jesus as Lord, if you do not know this better covenant on better promises, I can introduce you to that. His name is Jesus. If that is you, raise your hand tonight. Amen. Raise your hand. Glory to God. It's here for us. Amen. Glory to God. I'm just going to wait another minute here. Amen. God is good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we have the assurance that we are going to be with you. Hallelujah. That your covenant is here for us, that we can go boldly to your throne room. Thank you, Jesus, that we have the assurance that you have washed our sin away. We give you all the glory, and I thank you, Lord, for the power of the blood of Jesus, and we apply it to our life. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen, amen. Glory to God. You are dismissed. We will